Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I was off by like 4 years on Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, he's 33.
How is he only 33?
He turns 33 on Super Bowl Sunday.
So he's actually only 32 right now.
Right, yes.
I thought 36, 37. I feel like Matthew Stafford has been playing for the Lions for 25 years.
Yeah, I know, because you're a Vikings fan and you've had to see these unbelievable games between your team and their team.
Man, so he's still got... I mean, that's what makes him more attractive. When I was thinking about Matt Stafford, I'm like, well, you know, you squeeze out a couple years of Matt Stafford. But the way that quarterbacks are playing into their, you know, high 30s, low 40s, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if you get him, maybe even 7 years of Matt Stafford.
He came into our studio in Astoria.
Yeah?
That's before
oh, really?
The draft, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
we had goodness. Him on before he was drafted, and we were in Astoria. Is that right, Al?
It was actually at the Super Bowl. But he was still a college kid.
But we were still in Astoria.
Yes, it was a long time ago.
Oh, so that was at the Super Bowl. He was promoting whatever he was promoting coming out of college.
Actually, I remember it was Axe hair gel.
That's great.
Yeah. Young guy, man. Remember how young he looked, man?
Yeah, that was the first time I saw a guy, and I thought, "There's no way this guy's going to survive getting hit in the NFL."
Really?
I did when I saw he looked like a kid that looked like he didn't weigh all that much. It was very odd. I thought, no way this guy lasts in the NFL.
And the reputation that he has, it turns out that he's one tough SOB, man.
Right,
that's
plays through big injuries. Yeah. And
that's why I was talking to you this morning. I mean, I don't know where he ends up. I'd like to see him in Indianapolis. That would be great for Frank. Maybe San Francisco. But then there's that one team that I throw in there because of where he's from. He's from Texas. What about the Cowboys? And then what happens to Dak Prescott? And I mean, all the different things that could happen. I don't know if the Cowboys could have, you know, if they could absorb Dak Prescott's contract, then they could absorb, you know, Matthew Stafford's contract. There's no question about that. But that could be a cheaper alternative for the Cowboys.
Well,
but I don't know if they have what it takes to go get them.
I'm going to throw one out there for you.
All right.
The New England Patriots.
Maybe the New England Patriots. But I don't even know if they have the draft capital to get them. You never know.
The Denver Broncos.
True. There is a belief in that building that Drew Locke could be their future quarterback. I don't know about it. You know, he's a little bit of a wild card. I'm not sure. He's a little strange. All right, so let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
I was just perusing some of the numbers for the Super Bowl, getting ready for Super Bowl 55. So how many regular season games has Tom Brady played?
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we're talking about 2000. He's drafted 2001. He's in the playoffs. I would say somewhere around 350.
So he's played a total of 345 games.
Oh, my goodness.
In the regular season, he's played 301 games, and his record is 230-71. 230-71
because he didn't play his first year, right?
Well, and he also got hurt. He got hurt that 1 year.
And the year that the Dolphins with Pennington won the division.
That's right. Yeah, with Matt Cassel as the Patriots quarterback.
So Super Bowl 55 will be Tom Brady's 45th playoff start. And in the playoffs, he's 33-11 in those 44 games.
Yeah.
Now, conversely, on the other side, Patrick Mahomes, how many games do you think he has played total?
I mean, we're talking about three full seasons now. You know, in the postseasons, he's made it to the championship game, the Super Bowl, back to the Super Bowl again. So, like, I don't know, 75, something like that?
He's only played 53 total games.
All right.
He's played 46 in a regular season. He's 38-8. He's 6-1 in the seven playoff games. He should be actually more than that. He should probably be 8-0 because he lost the AFC Championship game by not getting the ball back.
Yeah.
D Ford. Right, D Ford jumping offside. So he most likely would have won that game and the Super Bowl. But how about his touchdown-interception ratio in the playoffs? 17 touchdowns and only two interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the guy, the best to have ever done it, and maybe the guy who does it better than him when it's all said and done.
The money's obviously different for Patrick than it was for Tom his first 10 years. Tom was making good money once he started winning, and the Patriots always held back so they could pay other players. You remember that whole thing?
Of course, yeah.
You know, Patrick actually took a little less money but signed a longer contract with bigger guaranteed money. But, he seems as dedicated. You just wonder what the money does to somebody.
Well, Patrick Mahomes, we've talked, though, with the groundedness that he has. It's not something that you would expect to be a problem.
But the money could change all that. You never know. I mean, the one thing I will say about Patrick Mahomes is that he has had a little bit of a history of getting hurt.
Yeah, no, that's true. He's definitely it's a little hobbling here or there. All right, I want to go to Joanne in Manhattan first. What's going on, Joanne? Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Joanne.
This is specifically for you, Gio.
Okay.
Forget about Gunzella. I sat yesterday for 4.5 hours at Netflix watching, if you are a Sinatra fan, and even if you're not, you should watch it for 4.5 hours, all or nothing at all. It's from the day he was born to the day he left this earth. I sat there in awe. I was singing along, and I forget all the great times that he gave me and my mom. So I hope you have time to watch it.
And this is this a documentary or is it's a documentary? Is that the one that HBO did not that long ago?
I don't know, but this is on Netflix, and he's fabulous, and all of his friends, the Rat Pack, all of his movies, when he played in From Here to Eternity, and when the Academy Award, to the day he fell in love with Ava Gardner. I mean, it is incredible.
Yeah, Joanne, I watched one. Thanks for the call and the recommendation. I watched an HBO documentary on Frank Sinatra a couple years ago that was awesome, that I loved. I love that era. I mean, people were not cooler than he was. I mean, it was the coolest group of people of all time. I was lucky enough, actually, to be out at his Palm Springs house. This was, I want to say, 3 years
ago.
You
were out at his Palm Springs. What were you doing?
I'll tell you why. So my sister-in-law and brother-in-law got married in Palm Springs.
Okay.
You can rent the house, and they rented Sinatra's Palm Springs house for a Sunday brunch after the wedding.
Oh, a Sunday brunch.
What does that go for?
I don't know. Probably a ton of money. And it is like it's a museum, but it's also you can enjoy the house. I mean, you can see some of the stuff that was there that he had. And then they
it's like Palm Springs version of Graceland.
Yeah, that's sort of what it's like. Yeah. Yes. And it is beautiful and it's upkept and everything. And they brought in synchronized swimmers in the pool that were dressed like it was the 1960s. And I just remember, see, this was one of those moments where I can't like just enjoy the moment. All I was thinking about was, how much did this cost? So then, like, you know, then I,
oh, man.
I remember just, like, seeing the synchronized swimmers, and they're playing the music, and their feet are kicking up in the air, and I'm looking, I'm like, all right, where's my father-in-law right now? Because I want to know if he paid for this or not. So I remember going up to him being like, is this you? And he's like, yep.
That's great.
Yeah, well, hey, it was beautiful, though. It's a great memory. I got so many pictures on my phone. I was, like, going through the whole house. I got a tour. I mean, it was awesome.
Kind of
so
like
cool.
You and Randy Moss on your honeymoon.
Yeah, that was a little more personal.
Yeah,
that was a little more. That was actually a cooler moment for me. I got to be honest with you.
Let's go to Jules in Nazareth. Jules, what's happening?
Jules.
Hey, Boomer. I have a question about Sunday's game.
Yep.
When the team jumped offside.
They did it on purpose.
Intentionally.
Yep.
To get them the first down so they saved the timeout.
Yep.
What if they had declined it? What if they declined it and then they kept doing it over and over? They kept jumping offside intentionally.
Well,
that's one of the weirdest questions ever, but I don't know the answer. I mean, what would the answer be?
We'd still be here doing it. I guess you keep doing it. It's all, you know. That would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, Jules, his mind is going. It's like a filibuster.
Yeah, I do. Yes, I like the question. The interesting thing, and I went back and looked at this whole thing. The more and more I think about it, the more and more two things I don't like. One is, it was the initial reaction of everybody on Twitter, including yours truly, because we were all looking at it, you know, our show is starting while this game is ending.
Right.
And we're kind of seeing what's going on, but we don't know all the facts about the situation at hand and how the whole thing is unfolding. Who does know that is Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers. Obviously, having his guy jump offside on purpose, stopping the clock and setting the downs and all that other stuff was a great move. He's obviously in the game. Throwing the red flag for challenging the fact that it wasn't called a touchback on the kickoff and the ball hit the goal line. He's into the game. He did that immediately. You could tell he was into the game. You also could tell, and when I went back and looked at it, the three previous plays on third and goal, and I knew this was going to happen because they get inside the 10-yard line. Now it's first and goal from inside the 10, so you can't get a first down.
Right.
And it's almost like the worst situation, but I also appreciate that you have a little bit more space to work with. And you're thinking, okay, with these wide receivers, this tight end, and this quarterback, somehow they're going to get the ball in the end zone, and they should get it in the end zone. But they failed three straight times. And at the same time, the Green Bay defense has picked up its game, and Tom Brady's trying to give the game to Green Bay. And Matt LaFleur is on the sideline realizing all of this and knowing that if he kicked the field goal before the two-minute warning, he would have the two-minute warning plus his three timeouts. What he didn't account for, which is unfortunate, is that Kevin King, he is the defensive back who got beat by Mike Evans.
Yeah.
And he was also the defensive back that got beat at the end of the first half by Scotty Miller for the touchdown, is the guy who had the PI on the last series against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was in the midst of a really bad game.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I still don't like it. I understand the logic you're taking me through, but I still, because also if you don't get it on fourth down, the Bucs are getting the ball back, you know, inside of the 10 at that point.
Yard line. That's true. I'm not saying that's not, but, you know, most likely they would punt and the Packers would have to go down, score a touchdown, and then convert a 2-point play to start the game. What I didn't like is when he went for two earlier in the game when he didn't have to. I have a simple rule. Me and Frank argue about this all the time. My rule is you don't go for two until you have to. And I've always felt that way. The analytics guys will tell you differently. Go for two here, go for two there, and they'll always tell you to go for two. But I just think that sometimes a football game can't always be judged by analytics. You have to stand on the sideline, and you got to get a feel for the game and who's playing and how are they playing. And that's how I thought Matt LaFleur coached the end of that game. I really feel like now that you understand all the situations, you go back, you look at it, you could sit here and we can argue back and forth about it. He kicks the field goal. He kicks off to them. They get the ball on the 25-yard line, stop them. Now you get maybe 2 minutes to go, or maybe a little bit, maybe a minute 30 to go because you've used all your timeouts. And now you have the MVP of the league driving his team down, not only for a touchdown to win, it's to win the game now. It's not to score the touchdown and then convert a 2-point conversion to tie the game.
Yeah, but I know. And I'll just go back to the same stuff I was saying yesterday. You also have the MVP 8 yards away from the end zone. And I know you need the 2-point conversion there, but you're still going to need another score at some point. You're in the same situation. A field goal could have won the game for you after that as well. I mean, it's not the reason they lost the game. I can give you that because there's other things that went on. Of course, Aaron Rodgers not running on second and goal and third and goal. That was a big deal.
Them not running? I don't know they may have called a running play.
Sure.
And Aaron Rodgers may have done what Ben Roethlisberger's been doing all year.
And let's not forget
the passing play so he could throw another touchdown pass.
And let's not forget after two of those three Brady interceptions, the Packers got the ball back, went three and out. So the offense has got to take a hit.
Yeah, but the point being is that's the other part of the equation for Matt LaFleur. My offense has not been playing. I mean, they're great. They're great players, and they have made some plays today, but they're not really that sharp, and they're not playing all that great. And Tampa is giving us a little bit better a defensive effort than we expected. So if my offense has struggled and had 2-3 and outs, now we're down inside the 10. We haven't scored on three plays. I still have three timeouts. My defense is playing better. I'm going to need a field goal at some point to win the game anyway. So why don't I just take it now and I'll put it in my hands of my defense. So I when you put all of that into the blender and you mix it up and you want, now I totally see why Matt LaFleur did what he did.
I still don't like it. And I didn't like it when it happened, but yeah, well, but I hear you.
Hey,
I
mean, most of us had the same feeling. I mean, like in real time, we all felt the same way, but I just wanted to go back and look at it all over again and try to reimagine what he was thinking about with all of those different aspects. It's not as easy as everybody out there thinks it is.
Yeah, but people are still going to disagree. I mean, I understand you walking through the process. I still disagree with it. I'm still going for it on fourth down. And I want to know really the truth between what Aaron Rodgers thought was going to happen and what actually happened, because that was weird that what he said after the game.
I would just say this. If they had less than three timeouts, they're going for it. I think the fact that they were north of the two-minute warning and they had all three timeouts is the reason why he came away with points.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Jerry Recco's back with us. He's got another update. What's going on, Jerry?
What do you say, guys? Nets and Heat last night in Brooklyn. Gorgeous floor as they turned out. You see all these different settings that they've had for Barclays Center and around the league. Well, last night they played the Heat for the second time. Now, the other night, there was like 120-something to 120-something. Last night, more of a defensive struggle, or the teams couldn't shoot. Either way, Brooklyn winds up beating Miami.
Now the Nets have it hard to the front court. Looking to extend a one-point lead as we approach 5 minutes to go in the game. Harden one-on-one with Robinson. Step back on the left to three, and it's good for James Harden.
It sure was. Chris Carino with the call on the fan. Harden coming to life in the second half. 10 of his 20 in the fourth quarter. Nets beat
Yes. Yes.
Hey, speaking of Evan.
Yes.
98-85. Yeah.
I didn't hear the explanation of this part of Carton and Roberts yesterday, but he was at the game over the weekend.
Oh, was he really? Nice.
Well, I saw on the, the Twitter video that he posted. As Al says, everything on Twitter is now a video. He posted a video of the game on Twitter.
How cool. Did he go?
Well, he's a media member.
Maybe yeah, that's how he went. He went credentialed.
Credentialed. Oh, yeah. Okay. Did he do any work? Well, he was there to write a game story.
He's talk show host. It's all work.
Was he rooting for the team, or was he like unbiased?
Sound? Did he get some sound after the game? Or?
Yes.
Wow, that's all Zoom.
That sounds a little fugazi to me. So you mean I could go to the Ranger games?
Yes, as a media member?
Member,
you could, yes.
Ooh.
Why couldn't you?
Ooh, look at that. Open up a whole new door for Boomer.
Oh, baby.
Like, not for nothing. How is that not prep for the show?
No, I know it is. I agree with you. I was just trying to bust his balls,
well,
Jerry.
I'm thinking
not letting me do it.
Oh, bust away. I mean,
you're like, what are you talking about? No. I just, because a lot of the responses were like, oh, you get to go. You're so special. You get to go.
Wait a minute. Time out. So they are allowing media members into these buildings to cover these games.
Well, yeah. Rutgers, we have all the writers are there.
They are.
Steve Politti. Is he there?
I've not seen him. Jerry Carino is always there.
I'm going to have to go start covering the Rangers in person then.
Yeah, I think so.
And all you got to do is put a video
about
up.
That is you go free.
Exactly.
Instant reaction.
Do they still have the food laid out and everything, too?
Probably not.
At a lot of places, they don't.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know a lot of writers, they don't eat at all at home. They just eat at the stadiums for free.
It's not all free, though. I believe the baseball teams charge.
Yeah, you better hurry up and get to one of these Ranger games before they get eliminated, because
You want to?
That's not funny.
I would send an email now.
I don't think that's funny.
This morning.
It's funny, you Fregazi fan. The other day you're wearing a Devils jersey. The other day before that you're wearing an Islanders jersey. You are so Fregazi. It's not even funny.
Don't try to hide it.
That's why you and Al get along so well.
Yeah, I was like, you know, well, when it comes to hockey, for sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, I've got my allegiances, but when it comes to hockey, yeah, whoever's playing better at the time, I'm a fan of.
Just like Al.
Yeah, that's it. That's really all that's going on.
I was buying the Warren Sapp throwback for the Super Bowl.
I saw.
To celebrate the time Sapp almost, you know, gave him a wedgie and hung him up the flagpole.
Do you remember you sent me that screenshot of a podcast that had Brian Jones and Warren Sapp on it?
Yes.
All right, so I went and found that podcast, and like it was a video podcast, and I watched some of it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Warren Sapp lets it fly in that podcast.
Is this recent?
He called Davante Adams a little hoe in that podcast.
He just doesn't care anymore.
He's
at the point where, you know, he can't get a legitimate, you know, media job, so he doesn't care.
He was killing people. Like, I couldn't believe it.
Now, was this recent, Greg?
Yeah. Yes. It was leading up to the NFC Championship game.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I was in shock.
How did
actually.
Your former partner, Brian Jones, react to those comments?
I'd never seen him be the quiet guy. He's not the quiet guy.
He's always a professional,
boisterous guy wherever he is, whether it's TV, radio, he's screaming. And he was like the straight man in this thing, as Warren Sapp was just barking and destroying people and filleting NFL players and all this. I mean, it's insane. I got to send you one of the clips.
I told you, I saw it. That's why I sent it to you.
I thought to myself, like, although this is entertaining, he's not going to get back on TV ever again.
No
way. Absolutely not.
He's just ripping away.
Oh, my God. Ripping away is an understatement.
Well, since we're talking about the football, so Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl, you had this is the Kelce audio that NFL Films released when Mecole Hardman, he had the muff. And then he was sitting on the bench. He put like a big parka over his head. First, Kelce goes over to give him some encouragement.
A lot of plays left to be made. You got to trust them boys for you, all right?
And then after he makes a couple of plays.
Hey, that's how you handle adversity. You smack it right in the mouth.
And eat its kneecaps. See, this is why Dan Campbell's going to be successful in Detroit.
Yes, I agree. We were very disappointed. We were talking on the warm-up show that the Lions and Dan Campbell need to be on Hard Knocks, and then people are telling us rookie coaches aren't allowed.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
That guy should definitely be on.
I agree. Well, the Chiefs and Kelce beat the Bills to advance to the Super Bowl.
I wonder what his first meeting's got to be like. I remember our first meeting with Richie Kotite, and you know, Rich came in and was totally different than Pete Carroll, but he made a statement that just kind of like threw me for a loop. And it was, I don't care about nothing but 3 hours on Sunday. And I was like, uh-oh. What about leading up to Sunday?
Yeah. What about the prep for the game?
I'm not a genius.
Well, I was like, well, this is not going to be good. We got a young team. They're rebuilding. They're getting rid of guys. And right. I don't care about nothing but 3 hours on Sunday.
And he was a good coach in Philly. Well, let me rephrase that. They won games in Philly when he was the coach.
Yeah, they had a tremendous roster, too. They were loaded. And I think one of the reasons I don't know why he was let go there or wasn't renewed. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they had a great team and they only got so far.
Right. Maybe because of him. Here was Cole Beasley talking about playing hurt. We got this yesterday.
I broke my fibula, but it's nothing that needs to be surgically repaired.
You broke your fibula. How did you manage that pain?
It's not a full break.
So, what do you think?
Hairline fracture, a little bit of pain, could play through it.
We did.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, if the doctors are telling him he can play through it, he didn't really have a broken leg. I mean, he had a hairline fracture, played through the pain, couldn't make it any worse, I guess. I don't know.
Look, Al couldn't play through the pain of getting hit in the shin with a softball.
Yeah.
And he couldn't play softball.
That was a deep bone bruise.
Yeah.
Right. No way Cole Beasley would have played with that.
And you weren't getting paid either for playing. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, when people are like, Cole Beasley played with a broken leg, it's not like his leg was snapped in half and it was dragging it behind.
That's the image you have, though.
He's running a route, you know? I mean.
I told you what toughness was. Tim Crumry, our nose tackle, busted his leg in Super Bowl 23 in the first quarter. It snapped. Okay? Unlike Al, who put like a ice bag on his little shin.
As he's texting his girlfriend.
I'm hurt.
I was texting my lawyer.
Oh, is that what you're doing? Okay.
Who could I sue?
So Tim Cromartie busts his leg. I mean, it snapped, and you could see it flapping, one of those. And they should have taken him immediately to the hospital. We come in at halftime, and he's in there in the locker room. He goes, I'm not leaving until this game's over.
Wow.
That's toughness.
He didn't go back in and play, though.
No, no, but they did put a rod in his leg, and he ended up extending his career.
Wow.
God bless him. And then the hockey players, that take a puck in the mouth, come back out for the next period.
Or get a broken jaw like Derek Stepan did against the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs and then miss a game and then come back and play the rest of the series.
Deal with it later. That's right. So the Chiefs are going to play the Bucs, as we know. Another one from NFL Films that came out that has touched a lot of people, including our own Craig Carton, who was all broken up about this yesterday. Good for him. Here's Tom Brady after the game going to the stands.
Can I say hi to my son? Love you, kiddo. How about that?
Good job.
Let's go to the Super Bowl, baby. What do you think? I love you, man. Way to go. I'll see you. I'll call you a little bit later.
All right, I love you.
All right, love you, kiddo.
Yeah, no, it's great. I was thinking, what if the security guard's like, no, COVID protocol. You're not allowed to see your son.
What did Craig say?
I think he said he was all broken up about it. Oh, like so as a parent,
he's broken up about it.
Well, like as a parent, you know,
he's
brought a tear to his eye,
Craig
and now he's rooting. He's rooting for Brady.
Oh,
like how could you not root for Brady after seeing that?
Like he questioned whether or not I shed a tear when Brady and Breeze got on the field after the game. He questioned whether or not that was emotional enough for me to shed a tear. So I'm supposed to believe that he is, you know, all broken up over the fact
that Tom Brady
saw his son.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
I'm with them.
I can actually, I mean, I hate to say it, but I could see someone getting more emotional about that clip than the Brady and Breeze.
Absolutely.
Brady and Breeze is like...
two old guys, whatever.
Yeah, right. Hanging
Man,
around.
You guys are unbelievable.
A couple and guys loitering.
Now you guys are wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so now all of a sudden he's all broken up and rooting for Tom Brady.
Because he'd also mentioned how polite Tom Brady was. Like, he didn't act like an arrogant athlete going... Let my kid get down here. He asked politely, may I say hello to my kid?
And can I say hi to my son?
Unlike Craig just bringing his kids into the radio row whenever
right,
he feels
exactly.
like.
Kids are going all over the place. No, but I just like, who did he ask if he could see his kid?
The security guard.
Yeah, security guard.
Is the security guard some guy that's responsible for COVID protocols?
It was a gal, because I watched it live. You were obviously doing your show.
Yes.
And so, yeah, she just said, yeah.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Right. Yeah, because it's Wisconsin. They're nice people there.
You remember Arizona, Al, when we go to Radio Row for the first show at 4 a.m., probably 2 a.m., I guess it was, and the boys are with us, and you say to Craig, you've passed this for them? No, we'll work it out.
Right, exactly.
And he worked it out.
Mr.
Somehow.
Madness.
That was
now
funny.
Mr. Madness is all broken up because of Tom Brady.
I get it, though. It's his kid. I thought it was pretty cool.
Right. It's not just two old quarterbacks standing around. Loitering on a field.
Loitering. I mean, Tom Brady threw a pass to Drew Brees' son in the end zone.
Yeah,
that's not
yeah.
touching.
That
involved the child.
It was cool.
That involved the child.
Now,
Drew Brees' wife was there, and you know they were all hanging out on the field. Like, that's not a touching moment.
This would have been touching. Drew Brees announced his retirement 20 minutes prior, and on his way out the Superdome, son, let's throw one more pass.
Yeah, that would
have been touching.
Yeah, and he wouldn't have.
The whole thing was touching.
Wouldn't have reached him.
I mean, it was touching.
It's terrible.
And by the way, you know, Tom Brady's kid is like 13 years old.
Yeah.
And? What does that have to do with it?
How did he get to the game?
What do you mean, how did he get to the game?
How did he get to the game?
There were thousands of people there.
Yeah, I don't understand what you mean, how did he get to the game?
I don't think Brady put him in an Uber and said, good luck.
He's Tom Brady. He rented out like five planes.
No, I know exactly how I got to the game. Tom Brady's buddy was flying to the game, and he took Jack with him.
Okay.
And that's why. So it's all good. I get it. But, you know, but Craig to make a thing out of it and like, oh, he's now rooting for Brady because all of a sudden he's like Mr. Sympathy. And, you know, his heart was touched. Come on. Come on.
Someone's not buying it.
Yeah, I ain't buying that.
I thought it was a cool moment. Anyhow, Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher out of the Super Bowl because of a torn Achilles. The Yankees traded Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox for a player to be named later. You've got the Rangers in Buffalo tonight, the Islanders skating in Washington, and the Devils hosting the Flyers. And also, real quick, University of Michigan, by the way, so they put this two-week pause on all athletics because of the new variant of the COVID-19 strain. And I think they had I think it was 17 or 18 players across all their sports come positive. The athletes had a protest yesterday, and they're basically begging the Michigan Human Health and Services, whatever the hell it is, to allow the healthy players to move forward. So we'll see how that goes, but they're not doing anything for 2 weeks as of now.
All right, little COVID pause out there in Michigan.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Watson to the Jets. Boomer and I are, of course, both on board with that, hoping that it happens and wanting it to happen. James Harden and the Nets last night beating the Heat, and the baseball stuff that's going on that's strange. Two things. One, this whole DH negotiation with the expanded playoffs. This is the first time that we've heard the Players Association of Major League Baseball and the owners having a dispute publicly this time around. All of it was played out in the media back in March, April, and May when they were trying to get the season together. And the other strange baseball thing is local, as the Yankees trying to clear out salary, trading Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox. So, and also attaching a prospect in that deal. So in order to get rid of Adam Ottavino's contract and to clear some space to be able to maneuver more this offseason under the luxury tax, they had to trade one of their relievers to a rival and then also give him a prospect. That's how desperate they were to get some salary relief.
Any way you can do it, man. You know, you got to save those bucks, especially when you're not selling those seats and people aren't sitting in them.
Just strange.
Yes.
You never see stuff like that.
You know, and then also comes the rumors. Here we go again with Chris Bryant possibly coming to the Mets. They're thinking the Mets or the Blue Jays. Hey. I'm like, they're going to have to trade for him and take his. Yeah, but again, like, what are you going to give up for a guy who's got a supposed, you know, how's his back and what's his contract? And, oh, boy.
I don't know. That's one of those ones I have to really get some. That's a believe it when I see it type of thing after making a huge deal with the Cleveland at this point with Francisco Lindor. I mean, they were talking about rebuilding the farm system. You would assume that there'd be more prospects going in a deal like that. Are they really going to do that? Strange. All right, let's go to Joe and Clark, our pal. What's going on, Joe?
What's up, gentlemen? Boom, hey. What's going on, bro?
Hey.
Guys, real quick, a couple things. And you know how big of a Jet Mets fan I am. So my consolation prize, if we don't get to, you know, Watson is, of course, Bauer. Hopefully I get one of the two. My thing is this, boom, if they call up and they say, look, we'll make the deal with you, but we want you to throw Quinnen Williams in, would you do it?
No, I would not. Yeah, I mean, I think it's all draft picks. And, you know, I've said this, you want to move heaven and earth, and that would be moving heaven and earth if you throw Quinnen Williams in there. I think they think Quinnen Williams is going to be a star, and they want to keep him, and that would be one of the foundational pieces that's going to help support Deshaun Watson. So I would not want to. To me, it's not. I would not want to trade any foundational pieces.
But would you, at this point, Boomer, your gut, right now, is it better than 50%, less than 50% if this happens, in your opinion?
I think it's better than 50%. I do. I think where there's smoke, there's fire, unless, as Gio said this morning, if they hire Eric Bieniemy and Eric Bieniemy all of a sudden gets Deshaun Watson one-on-one, then all bets are off. But again, I just think given the state of the salary cap situation, an unhappy player, and the fact that they don't have any draft choices, you gotta call and you gotta see if you can make this happen.
Yeah, generally this never comes across general managers' plates like Joe Douglas. He's never gonna have an opportunity to trade for a 25-year-old superstar quarterback at this point in his career. It just doesn't happen.
And the other bad thing is that you have another team in your division that could be a likely landing spot. You have to remember that. So that kind of pushes the envelope a little bit more and creates even more pressure. I don't know, you know, obviously I am not a part of the discussions over there in Florham Park between the general manager and the coach, but I would think that initially, do you think you could make this work with Sam Darnold is probably the first question, and he'll say Mike LaFleur's offense will be good for Sam Darnold and we'll get the best and most out of him. Then the second question is, if we can make a trade for Deshaun Watson and I'm willing to do this and this is what they're asking for, are you up for that? And I would think the answer from Robert Saleh is going to be yes.
Yeah, so what I was saying was, you know, these opportunities are so rare with quarterbacks at this stage of their career. And that's why you feel like it could never happen. But when you go through all the reasons that would prevent it from happening and you have an answer for each one of those things – one unhappy player in today's professional sports climate who is a superstar generally gets his way. Okay, so that's one. Two, the dead cap situation is not that prohibitive for the Houston Texans.
And their present cap situation is.
Yes.
With him on it.
Right, exactly. Also, you've got draft capital out the wazoo for the Jets. The exact opposite with the Houston Texans is they had traded away draft picks to bring in players while Bill O'Brien was the general manager. So, and also, you know, having the player want to go to a certain place.
Plus you have cap room.
Yeah, and there are reports of that in multiple places. Deshaun Watson wants the Jets. So, like, normally this wouldn't be a thing, but this is a thing, and a lot of it makes sense. All right, Dave in East Meadow. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
I got two Jet points, but before that, I just want to say I feel like we're coming up on that day, which I'll never forget with you guys, out of all the great talk shows you guys have had, where Boomer and your son was at that conference and COVID had just come out, if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a very point in all the years I've listened to you guys, just a day that stuck out in my mind, and I know it's coming up around the corner, so I'm glad your son is doing well.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So saying that, I got two Jet points. The one, on as far as Watson goes, you know, you try to read the tea leaves. You know, I'm reading different sources, and it seems like this is deeper than him. You know, we know there's a fractured relationship with the ownership for years with a lot of the players. Then you look at the fact that they had a search committee for a GM. I don't think there was too many minorities in there. And then they go hire a guy that wasn't even recommended or in the search committee's pool. And then when you go to look for head coach candidates, you're the only team. You don't bring in Saleh. You don't even bring in Bieniemy. So I think that, you know, from a diversity standpoint, has angered Watson. And I think now that they're bringing in, now they bring in Frazier, now they bring in Bieniemy, I think he sees through that. That's number one. Number two, as far as the Jets, you know, putting together a package, I know it's going to probably take three number ones. I'm just hoping if they can come to a deal where they kind of kick the can down the road a little bit, and it's not too much this year, maybe like a 1-3 this year, a 1-2 next year, and maybe something the year before, because the cupboard is pretty empty, and we really need to restock the cupboard to some degree.
Yeah, but you'll still have a first round. See, I make this deal, I wouldn't say only, because I'd probably be in a position if I'm Joe Douglas where every time I think about not getting Deshaun Watson, I say, oh man, I really want to make this happen. Then you add more. But the perfect deal for the Jets would be to give up your own first round pick,
which is the number two pick
this year, right? But
which
you get in the quarterback.
Which is a very valuable pick. Huge. It's the number two pick.
Right. Then your first pick next year, your own pick, and then you have two other first-round picks already, so it's not like you're going through all these drafts. So, to me, you don't give them all up. Like, you try to avoid that situation where you have a year where you don't have a first-round pick. If you can get Deshaun Watson and still have a first-round pick the next 3 years, I mean, that is huge.
And then everybody will look back at the Jamal Adams trade and say, when? What a winning trade that was.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yeah. So, and it sounds to me like most players out there that have played under Coach Saleh all say nothing but great things about him. One of the reasons why Richard Sherman is pushing Deshaun Watson, well, not pushing him, but just saying publicly that, you know, if Deshaun Watson can get to the Jets and go play for this coach, go do it.
Yeah.
You're going to love the coach. And I think that's probably a big reason why, you know, Deshaun Watson, and by the way, is buddies with Kevin Durant, is buddies with James Harden.
Yeah.
He just saw James Harden leave Houston. He saw George Springer leave Houston. I mean, all these guys that he probably knows and hangs out with. Why wouldn't you want to leave?
Oh, of course. And come to the Jets. Be one of the biggest stars in town.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.